So there is one nice thing about going last. I can see what everybody else has done, and I can actually skip slides if I want to, or I could sum up things. And the one thing that really stood out on two of the talks was the products are not creating a response that's not there. If there's not already going to be a phosphorus or nitrogen response, we can't put something on to create a response. And I'll tell you what, as a soil fertility guy, getting a response in studies is not always the easiest thing to do. In fact, it's sometimes the bane of our existence, trying to find that increase due to something. How many times have I done a trial where the check is just as good as everything else, so that means I put a whole lot of work in a whole lot of nothing? And I see a lot of head shaking, so that's just the world we live in when we're doing nutrient management studies. What I want to talk about has already been talked about to a little bit. There was a multi-state study looking at a lot of products. Now, there was not one consistent trial put out everywhere. This was a little bit regionally specific. For one, it was specific to the southern U.S., and two, it was state-specific. Each state got to choose the products. It got the opportunity to choose the crops. A lot of authors on this work. I was able to do 3 years of study, while most others had 2 years due to my cropping system. But Oklahoma, New Mexico, Texas, Auburn, U of A, NC State, going in together for several years looking at several crops at several products. Not every product was tested at every state, and not every crop was tested at every state. Real quick, you know, I think I'm going to skip nitrogen management slide because we've talked a lot about nitrogen management. Even if you've come in late just for this talk or the previous talk, we know how important nitrogen management is. If we don't maintain it, we have two problems. Either it's not economical because we're applying too much and there's environmental issues, or we don't apply enough and we lose yield. Both are bad. To a producer, the last is worse. But we also have to keep track of what's going on the overside, too. Most of you guys understand what's going on in the bay from Chesapeake Bay to Florida to Minnesota. It is a hotbed of fighting going on, and it's not going to stop anytime soon. The goal of most nutrient management, most soil fertility folks, is improving NUE. We want to improve NUE and improve yield all at the same time, which is a wonderful concept. Use less and make more. It's fun to get at that one. Nitrogen use efficiency increasing over time. I want to slip through a few of these to kind of move through. We've done a lot of the background work, not optimizing the NUE, exploiting the improvements in nitrogen use efficiency from genetics and cultural practices. A lot of what we've done on improving the NUE is agronomic. Knowing better than slinging urea on a hot summer day on a pasture and doing something different. Injection of nitrogen, just anything, just the cultural practice that we're doing that improve nitrogen use efficiency is also a large step in what we're doing. We're trying to manage in to avoid the losses. All kinds. We improve in rate, the placement, the timing, and guess what? This goes back, it's not said there, but the four R's. Right source, right rate, right place, right time. If we do all four of those perfect, we have a fantastic opportunity to maximize nitrogen use efficiency. The importance of timing, guess what? There has been four talks today, and at least three, if not all four talks, we've talked about the timing of the crop use. When is that crop using the nitrogen, not using the phosphorus, using whatever nutrient we're looking at the most? And just another way to represent the slides that have already been stated, I will say a lot of the stuff I'm going to talk about is not just with cotton. And most of you guys are not just 100% cotton production. So you're looking at all this. I'll tell you, the timing on winter wheat in Oklahoma does not look a whole lot like cotton production. We grow slower early. We don't have that same uptake. And I want to address that a little bit at the end of my presentation when we start talking about products and how we're looking at products across the U.S. Our alternatives, a slow release, which is a coated, more complex materials, a long chain polymers. So it's a slow release. We've got two options. There's a coating or the long-chain polymers, the Nidamins, the ESN. And we also have additives, the inhibitors, the stabilizers. They're all getting at stopping some biological process, trying to stop nitrification, trying to stop urease activity. They're trying to stop a bug in the soil. The objectives, then this was all supported by the regional water program, so I have to give a lot of thanks to that group for really supporting this as a multi-state, multi-year project. Within each state, compare yields and replicated studies for different end sources, the alternatives versus standards for that area. Each state will compare, each state in this case actually compared NutriSphere and ESN where appropriate, and some states will compare other options. This is a little representation of what was tested where. Notice I just have wheat. That's all I looked at in Oklahoma, but we have corn, cotton, and wheat is our three crops we're looking at. And I forgot to start that, so I'm going to have to watch my watch. The wheat results, looking at some of the wheat results. This is Oklahoma, and I want to talk about a few things. I had it in response. It was fantastic. You know, I actually had a response to nitrogen because as we go through these other slides, if there is no response to nitrogen, we expect no response to anything else. That's just flat out. We cannot create a response in the plant by adding something, or at least not yet, not that I know of. We aren't going to make the plant use more nitrogen or need more nitrogen by adding something. If there is no response, if you see that check, in this case on this side, that check is the same as everything else, we just say that. There was no response and we move on. In my case, in 2010, we looked at two different environments. We had conventional tillage where the pre-plant was incorporated prior to planting, and then no-till, where there is no incorporation. So we're looking at two different systems in that. Oklahoma, we're typically planting winter wheat in the 1st of October. Applications we made in the middle of September of our nitrogen source, we may or may not get rain. It may be 110 or it may be 65. We don't know. It's just option. And some of the things I've learned that's going to go well into this slide is looking at something like ESN where it says that it works out if you have 6 to 8 inches in the first 2 months. I promise you, we don't get 6 to 8 inches in the first 2 months in Oklahoma. If we're doing good if we get a quarter inch lately in the first 4 months, but you know, there's scenarios, there's situations, there are environments. I want to bring that out. For us, the first year we looked at it, across we had NutriSphere, ESN, urea, all applied preplant at three different rates. And then we looked at some top dress, and I'll get to the top dress, urea or urea plus Agritain. Response to nitrogen was significant. There's no significance between products. Whether it was urea or whatever, there's no significant difference. So we did get a significant increase in yield due to nitrogen, but no significant difference in or across products. Now, Agritain, that's a product I've been using for about 10 years in Oklahoma, and I'm pretty well aware of how it works. So when it comes into top dress, I was using my top dress treatments like I would recommend a producer. If you have no rain, if it's not forecasted to rain tomorrow, if you aren't incorporating, but you got a rain somewhere forecast about 7 or 8 days out, apply. In my 2 years, actually the 3 years that I did it, I did that exact same. Where I set up where 8 days out, we had about an 80% chance of rain. Two of those years, we didn't get rain for about 4 weeks. Well, there goes that. And the second year, the first and third year, we had no rain. The second year was amazing where we had rain within 4 hours. Unexpected shower of 1 inch. It happens. We see no response by adding Agritain, and honestly, I wouldn't. I can look at every one of these products for the most part and tell you where I expect a difference and where I don't. ESN, guess what? We don't get that rainfall when we applied it. We had nothing happening for that time. We may have had in the first couple years between October planting time and January, we may have had 1 or 2 inches of rain, maybe for our driest period in Oklahoma is November and December. That is our dry time. An inch in December is about average. We get wet February and March, where we do pick up a lot of activity, a lot of plant growth, but by that time, most of the ESN had already broken down in all of our fields. We had enough moisture. We have the heat, because even in December, it can be 65 degrees with heavy dews and good moisture. We just aren't leaching anything. Year two, same thing. In response, yes, I was so excited to get an in response 2 years in a row. No response to products. Looking at wheat and residual nitrogen, or the protein, I did look at protein, and I looked at residual nitrate across all years to depth. There was no difference across the board. Didn't matter what we used, where we put it. There was treatment differences sometimes. Not every time did we actually even get a treatment difference, significant difference. But across the board, we had no nitrate difference, or no differences in nitrate and no differences in protein. And the 2012 harvest, which I didn't get to put in here, it's a picture image of everything else we've shown. In response, no response to products. Difference across products. It was the same. I think, what did you say? You said that for you it's positive when there is equal, right? Okay. For me, and I'll talk about it a little bit later, my positive is I have to have an increase in yield. My neutral is it's equal. And I'll get to that a little bit later. We go into the Piedmont in North Carolina, and I want to kind of punch through a few of these to point out there was an in response from zero, not a big significant response after you get about 45 to 70 pounds. We had some increase. The UAN and the UFP in this case is Nidamin. Optimum rate was 95. In this case, there's no significant difference between the UAN or Nidamin. Statistically, numerically, there was. Piedmont back in North Carolina, 08, 09. All fertilizers were the same except for ESN in the 1 year. Down there at the bottom, we look at that. No differences across rate. There is a response at this site. 95 to 145 pounds was optimum. On this right here in the 09, I don't know if that's statistically significant. I don't know if there's really an increase due to nitrogen at this site. I didn't get a look at all the way through the stats on it. Moving to corn. Here we look at, there's a lot of bars. I do want to point out, this bar is UAN preplant on the corn. We look at, down here in this range, 80. You have UAN at about 120 at this point, right here, and UAN at 80. There is a significant difference between 80 and 120, so there was a response to nitrogen in this corn study. There is no treatment or product effect in this case. The corn yield response in Arkansas, we have significant differences between ESN urea. This was actually data already shown, so I'm going to kind of move through it because this is that Arkansas data shown earlier. Corn in New Mexico, in this case, there was the zero, the manure, two different rates of manure. UAN, in this case, Agritain with urea split. That A means that it's not significantly different than any of these because they have A. But it's getting close. It's almost there as far as statistical differences. But across the board, not a whole lot of differences in the New Mexico corn yield. We do see that in this case, we have fertilizers performed all about the same, except for Nidamin in this case. There is a response to N. This is a good sign. When you're looking at any study, I don't care who does it, ask to see the check. Ask to see what zero nitrogen, zero phosphorus yielded. I have seen my own data turned around on me where the check was higher than everything else, but there's two other treatments in there, and all they show is two treatments, and there's a big difference between those two, but the check is still higher than everything else. Ask for the check. If somebody's showing you data, ask for the check, because that is a huge thing when we look and compare data. In this case, we do have an increase in both. There's no significant differences across products. Coastal Plain, we have another optimum N rate is 140, optimum N rate of 180. No significant differences when it comes to cross products. Texas Badlands, or the Blacklands, it's all Badland, right? No. Blacklands in Texas, 2010 corn yield. Here's the kicker. No response to nitrogen, so we can ignore everything else. We did not make a response to nitrogen by using Ensure, Coron, In-Demand, Agritain, Ultra, or NutriSphere. It did not make the plant want more. So we move on. Now into the cotton yields. LSD in this case is about a 0.7, so you need about a relative yield difference of about 17% to be significant. Our highest two are what we'd look at here. I'm just going to look at ammonium nitrate right here. These two are just our standard product processes. We see nothing that reaches up to that same level. However, if we look at the 40-pound rate of UAN, which is here, we are just significant. So there was a slight response in yield due to increasing nitrogen from 40 pounds to 120 pounds. Likely the optimum rate this site is going to be somewhere 80 would be my guess. Once again, all the products down there, nothing improved yield above everything else, but they are basically all the same, equal or neutral results, as I would term it. Seed cotton yield in Arkansas, I think this data was shown too, more Arkansas data. ESN did improve yields in the seed cotton yield in Arkansas, statistically different. The cotton yields in New Mexico, manure at a 35% of recommended N rate was actually the highest. If you know, remember the letter, if it has that same letter, there's no difference. So if we look at UAN, UAN urea 1X means pre-plant application, nothing else, and then the split. So agritain urea split is lower. I'd say that's one of those phenomenons. There would be no reason to think that the same amount of N with agritain would decrease yields as a pre-plant. But it was statistically different, and it's there. The split is AB. We still go back in this case. Manure was actually best case. Typical practice of UAN or urea one time is in the A and AB and the BC. Not a big difference. Here's the biggest thing. This is grams per bowl. This is just bowl weight. The check where you added nothing is about the same as everything else. The black lands, once again, no response to nitrogen, as the check is 1,000 pounds and the 100-pound event is 1,000 pounds. So ignore everything else because there's no response to nitrogen. Not going to expect a change. Texas and the Brazos River, we look at the conventional versus Coron two times with no significant difference looking at a Coron application mid-season. 2X and 3X rate. At first bloom 14 days later, and first bloom 14 and 14. Lamisa, Coron, we look at the same thing. There's no statistical difference of the untreated and the treated using two or three applications of Coron at that point. We look at the same thing again. No statistical difference between the untreated and the applied. The black lands, we have a check. We have a nitrogen response. There is a significant difference between the check and the applied. However, you note there's no difference between the 100 and 125. So my guess, if I would look at that data, we probably had an optimum rate somewhere well below 100 pounds since we only added about 200 pounds of lint. I would guess that the 100 is not optimum. It'd be somewhere below that to get to that. And we had no statistical difference across anything used, and which is likely due to the rate was too high. Maybe if we had a 20-pound rate and a 30-pound rate or a 20 and a 40, there might be some differences. But we were above that threshold, or they were above that threshold of optimum rate where you don't expect responses. Lint quality, no differences. I want to pop through. There's a lot of numbers, a lot of tables, and no differences. We do have the micronaire units. I will put out no applied. 0.45, we go down, we have some differences in micronaire, and that'd be about it. Grain sorghum, going to move through this. We do have a response to fertilizer and grain sorghum at the 60 and 90 pound level. We have no significant difference across products. The results from these studies, and I want to specify it is the results from these studies. Few differences due to nitrogen source, the fertilizer source, for any of the crop soils or climates in the southeast, nitrogen and agritain did not produce better yields at any location. ESN did perform better in Arkansas. What goes back to that is probably the rainfall patterns in those years in the sites. Which gets to my next slide, this take home. The impact of the product in the stabilizer is almost always, and I put almost because always is a hard term to use, so it's almost always environmentally and situationally dependent, which means in Arkansas using agritain, soil type changes the response you're going to get from agritain in Arkansas using in rice. We know certain things. Soil type's different. Environment is different. The cropping system's different. The release pattern. I would guess looking at the release pattern in ESN, it's probably not fit well for early planted winter wheat in Oklahoma. It's just not the situation for that. Irrigated corn in the high plains, the irrigated cotton in southwest, the release pattern would be a lot different and probably more significance there. The take home for me, when I look at products, there are certain things I know or I want to know. I want to know what it is and how it works. flat out as a researcher, those are two extremely important keys. And if I don't, I get concerned. And there are things that I don't know what it is or how it works. Another important thing is the extension side, because I have the research and I have the extension side. I need to know the situations I expect a product to work in and not to work in. There are products I can give you with 80% confidence that if it does this, you will see a response. If it does not, it will not. And we know that. As working with these products for over years, and I'm a young pup, and I've been working for about 4 years now, I still have a good handle on what works when and where. And then the still unknown products. There are products on the market, and they come on the market every day. I get a new label every day, a new call every day. It comes out, it's going out hard, fast, RFD TV. I love you guys. It's fantastic. Yeah, exactly. There are things we don't know. I am not going to give any recommendation if I cannot understand what's happening or see impacts in the field. To me, an impact is a increase in yield. And for me, I test everything I test is at low nitrogen levels. I'm at 30% expected in need, 60%. I never apply 100% expected because I want to see a difference in those products at a not sufficient level. And that's where I'm going at. Talk to your extension. Talk to your state specialist. Talk to your guys that you know. Understand the products you're looking at. Understand their fit in your environment. So even said, there are some environments products don't fit in. There's other products that are a perfect fit. And we've got enough experience, even in this room alone, to give you a really good idea of where we stand on a lot of these things. There's a final report from all the years. It's available on this link. Basically, if you go to Auburn website, the library, and this link will be made available. If it's not here, it'll be on my personal website if you have a hard time finding it. You can follow that link to the finalized report. It just was published about a month ago, I'd say, through Auburn. We have a few publications, and because of the recent request I've had, I did something I thought I'd add to this slide. Is that bottom, npk.okstate.edu is my website. In there, I show everything I've done. All my trial results are posted. The moment I get them, I'm extension. That's what happens. I've had so many questions on products and so many issues. I have spent hours combing through peer-reviewed journals and basically stated a few lines. Senior author, where it was done, what crop, what product, and whether it was positive, which for me was a majority of the point times it was a yield increase or a neutral or negative, where majority of the times tested it was a equal to or, and very, very seldom you'll ever see a decrease. I mean, it's 10% of the time from what I've seen. Everything is either neutral or positive. And I've got a check mark. And I'll tell you what, it was hard to get some of those check marks figured out. When you have 8 of 16 sites positive and 8 of 16 sites neutral, you kind of want to put a plus and a minus at both because you really don't know where it fits. But you can go back in the paper and look at the situations. Rainfall, environment, soil type, soil pH, they all play in factors. The funding was multiple sources. We did have, I only ran off the Southern Regional, but a lot of the other states, a lot of the other researchers ran off of other grants along with it. This was a USDA NIFA grant. The Alabama Wheat Feed and Grain Committee, the University of Arkansas Division of Agrium Advanced Technologies, New Mexico's Agritain International, and New Mexico Ag Experiment Station, North Carolina, with several grants and several small products in there. In Texas was the United Sorghum Checkoff and Georgia Specific. And with that is my last slide, giving you time and opportunity to ask a few questions and giving you a break so that we make sure you come back here at 1:30 to see the rest of our technical session. So I have time for questions if anybody has any. All right, ladies and gentlemen, have a fantastic day. And like I said, I hope to see everybody back here later.